Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Tinker Talks podcast. I am your host, Mark Hybers, and it's been a while since we've done a Tinker Talks podcast. We've been rolled up into mission and, as you know, a lot of busy things happening. And our guest that's coming up here, we've had a really hard time tracking him down and pinning him down, really. We know where to find him. It's just hard to pin him down. He's very busy, but we're excited for that. As you know, the Tinker Talks podcast is the podcast that discusses the happenings behind the fence line of Tinker Air Force Base. And so with that, today I'm very excited to finally sit down with my boss, the incoming commander of the 72nd and installation commander, Colonel Cisco Harris. And actually, sir, not necessarily new and incoming at this
True.
Point. We've been 11 months
right.
already.
Right,
so
right.
That is crazy.
And I'll tell you, Mark, it almost feels like yesterday when I took the flag from Colonel Rosetta. Mm. So I know this is a long time in coming, so glad to finally be sitting down and really talking through just some of the hot button topics we have going across the installation.
Awesome. It's busy. We've got a lot to get to. So before we jump into some things, maybe you could just start off with kind of giving us a little bit of background about yourself and how you got to this position.
Yeah, thanks. I think it's important to understand the story of our leaders. So my story is I grew up in a military household. My dad was a Marine for 27 years. My brother was in Desert Storm as an Army Ranger. So being part of the military is just something that was part of our DNA growing up in Southern California. I joined the Air Force as a KC-135 crew chief. So I came in as an E-1. They offered me 6 years, and I said, no, I'm only doing 4 years. I'm going to get my GI Bill, and I'm going to try to go to college again because I had failed out previously. And little did I know that becoming an aircraft mechanic really opened my aperture. It forced me to get out of my comfort zone and really forced me to start thinking, what does it mean to actually serve our nation, serve our country? So after 4 years, I commissioned after making NCO. I wanted to make staff sergeant. Mm-hmm. I was able to commission through officer training school, and since then I've had a ton of different jobs, from aircraft maintenance to did some logistics planning, did some combatant command time, and served a couple years overseas as well. So on the professional side, it's been 29 years. In fact, I'll hit 30 years in January wearing this uniform. But the part I'm most proud of is my family. So I'm married. My wife is active duty Army. So Fabian works for the Adjutant General for the state of Oklahoma as the Army advisor. And you've seen our son, William, six years old. And also we have two older kids who are out of the house now going to school and working. So very proud of the family and glad to be here.
That's awesome. Did you think Staff Sergeant was the goal? So at some juncture back then, you really did have the decision that the Air Force was going to be for you?
I think a lot of it depends upon our first line supervisors and our leadership at the time. So for me, I had a really good supervisor, Tech Sergeant Perdue and Tech Sergeant Deacon Jones, who saw something in Senior Airman Harris and really put their thumb on me to go back to school. And then from there, having a great leadership that saw promise in me and helped me with an OTS package. So I only planned on doing 4 years,
right.
But every single time I came across a juncture in my life, I realized that there was no other doors opening, and I needed to continue to explore this military thing. And then I would say by the time I got about 10, 11 years in, I knew I was going to make this a career.
Right. That's awesome. And it seemed to have fit. And we'll talk a little bit about leadership and things a little later on, but maybe it was very helpful to you to have started your career as enlisted before you became officers. They're very different careers.
Yes. Yeah, I would say definitely. So coming in as an E-1, my first job was mopping hangar floors. I used to wash airplanes.
Hard to believe.
Yes. Living in the dorms. Having to figure out how to make ends meet on Airman basic pay. Having to pay for a car that was well outside my pay scale. Those experiences shaped me as a leader. So now I always try and never forget where I came from, and at the same time, always think about those E1s, think about the junior folks who are either serving our military or civilians on this base and making sure that we're taking care of those. If we take care of those, we're taking care of everybody. So that's something that's really helped me really across my time of being a leader.
That's awesome. I know it really helps us. So I go back to when you first came on board, and it's so hard to believe it's already been a year. It's been a quick year, but I sat in this conference room with you, and you had actually not taken the guide on yet. You kind of came in and you talked to some of us, and of course I worked directly for you and involved with you quite often with a lot of events and things. But I remember the one thing that you said early on was that your cup fills quickly, you're an introvert, and that, you know, bear with you, but you know, you'll try to get through because I think you felt that we were going to be really pushing and there's a lot to do in this job, especially with community. And so the day that you took command, we had you right out throwing the first pitch at a Comets Military Appreciation Night. Your son was out there, took the rosin bag to you. Did you have any idea that you'd be just thrown into like a non-introverted, like total community engagement that quick?
I'll tell you, it's funny. It's funny. So Colonel Rossetta told me that this job, it's fast. Mm-hmm. It's fast moving. And credit to the public affairs team for you included preparing me for what's ahead. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this has to do with us stepping out of our comfort zone. And doing what the job needs, mm-hmm. or the installation needs versus what I want.
Right.
So it was a challenge that first couple days, that first month. It was a challenge, but this is an opportunity of a lifetime to be an installation commander, mm-hmm. And I don't want a single day to go by where I'm not helping somebody or doing something that is value added for the people that I serve. And I really truly believe I serve 27,000 people on this base, and I want to make sure that I'm giving credit to that job, because there's been so many wing commanders that have served in this position prior to me, and I want to make sure that at the end of the day that I feel like I'm worthy to kind of be at that level with so many great legends who have come before me.
Right, and we'll get to your priorities in a little bit, but you were also very clear in that first meeting with us that community was going to be one of the absolute pinnacles for you. Like that was going to be a major priority. And so we start like right out of the gate, you're already into the community.
Right.
Just a few weeks later, you're opening up your installation to hundreds of thousands of people for an open house and an air show. Very challenging for you to switch gears and go into that role so quick, but also from a community standpoint, you know, you talk about you serve 27,000 people here at this base, but also you come across an event like Miss Constant Favorite.
Yes.
She is the mother of one of our fallen airmen in the Oklahoma City bombing, A1C Lakeisha Levy. The Thunderbirds were here to do a presentation and to honor Ms. Levy, mm-hmm. On her 30th, I think it was 30th anniversary, yes. of the Oklahoma City bombing. Her mom came here, and you got a chance to meet her mom and spend a little time with her mom. Like, how does meeting a person like that, and she's so passionate and so lively, how does that help you, or at all, with your leadership and certainly, you know, with your young son?
Yeah, I would say that was a critical time for the Levy family. Mm-hmm. For us to be able to provide them opportunity of a lifetime with the Thunderbirds. And there was a lot of people who came together to make that happen. Mm. With me coming in so late into the air show planning, I think sometimes as leaders, we gotta make sure we're not an impediment to progress. And my job at that point coming in was to make sure that I was adding value and trying to help where I could, and then getting a chance to meet Airman Levy's family. That was probably one of my highlights of that air show. Got a chance to hug all the aunts and aunts and uncles and just everybody who was out there, and really made it a special time for that family. So I would say as a father, that's how I would want my kids to be remembered, if they had given their ultimate sacrifice like A1C Levy did. But as a leader, I think it's important for us to not just focus inside the installation, but focus outside the installation. Tinker, you know, is the single largest employer in our state, and I think that we have a responsibility outside of these fence lines to be a valued member of the community.
Yes.
So I treasure those opportunities. You know, we were at the Oklahoma City Marathon just last weekend passing out medals in uniform. I want the community to see that Tinker is all in, and we are all part of Oklahoma, not only just the future of Oklahoma, but the current. And we are all in as far as making sure that we're taking care of our people.
Right. Well, you said it was important for community engagement, and you've been spot on. Like, and it goes everything against your introverted side that
you said,
job or no job. Like, it, you really have embraced it, and you're very good at it. Like, letting our entire community and the whole state know who you are, what we are.
Well, thanks, Mark. Like I said, I think it's a team effort. I mean, we've got a lot of great senior leaders across this installation. And at least in my time, this is really in the last year, all senior leaders, we're all working together, pulling together, focused on what we can do, not only for our airmen, our sailors, our soldiers, our Marines, our civilians, our contractors, but we're all focused on improving the quality of life.
Right.
So it's so much easier when you're doing things together at the senior leader level. So I'm blessed to have a great team that I'm able to correspond with and work with and collaborate with across the installation to improve not only conditions, but also ensure that outside this installation really understands just the capabilities Tinker has to offer. And even though I'm introverted by nature, I realize that to do this job, you got to be extroverted.
Right.
So once again, all credit goes to my wife for her patience when I come home, when I have to recharge.
Right. And yeah, because you're gone a lot too. Now that said, you talk about being here and having, you had a little bit of experience of Tinker. You were over at the Oklahoma City Air Logistics Complex before you took the guide on here. Did that help you in any way prepare for taking this role, or is just being a wing commander just like there's nothing prepared, you just come and handle it as best you can?
No, I think it was exactly the right step that I needed. So prior to coming here, I spent a year downrange in Qatar. So with the Gaza war, and so I was very much at the, I would say, on the front lines of what our military was doing. And then I was hired as the PMXG Propulsion Maintenance Group Commander in 24, and taking the flag in August, it was an incredible opportunity. I had served here at Tinker back in 2018 timeframe. I was the exec for General Kirkland at the time. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really get a chance to really understand the depot.
Right.
So being in PMXG, being in the Oklahoma City Air Logistics Complex, understanding our civilians and what they bring, being able to work alongside them and see that they're just as patriotic as those of us that wear this uniform. And me being able to tell a civilian that, hey, the only difference between me and you is if the horn goes up, I'm probably going to deploy forward, but we're all making and serving our nation in equal capacities. It's incredible what our Air Logistics Complex, what our depot does for our nation, and I would not change it anyway. But I needed to have that experience, especially from an installation perspective of having a base that is 17,000 civilians.
Right.
So out of 27,000 people on this base, more than 50% being civilians, I needed that opportunity to see and experience that and also make sure that I'm serving and being of value to everybody on the base.
Right, and that is a good setup because oddly with the Oklahoma City Air Logistics Complex, it is a huge wing, but very little in the way of uniform people. Like less than 100 uniforms there. So that is a good experience to get over there and see all of the civilians. But also you come over here, you jump into a huge support, like where the 72nd support, Tinker is really kind of a support backbone. And when you think about it, if you were to look out over the span of the globe, I mean, you could almost say that Tinker reaches the entire globe. I mean, there's almost nothing out there, no location where we have assets, where we don't have a role in some of that. So How important is knowing the size and scope of this mission here? How important is that for our Air Force that we do that here and to the community at large?
I would say that's probably one of the greatest misnomers about our installation is taking a step back and understanding all the capabilities we have mm-hmm. here on the base. So I always like to say that there are 60 different missions on this base. Typically start with AFSC, Air Force Sustainment Center. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously General Hammerstedt is here and she leads 28 locations across the globe. We've got General Droz, who leads the Oklahoma City Air Logistics Complex, 9,500 proud Oklahomans who are doing nation's business for bombers, tankers, and also the Center of Excellence for Engines. You look at Mr. Gray, the 448th Supply Chain Management Wing. When it comes to wholesale logistics, there is nobody doing more for the Air Force supply chain than right here in the heart of Oklahoma, led by Mr. Gray and his team in the 448th. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've got our three operational flying wings here as well. We've got, you know, Captain Gardner leading the strategic communications wing one. You know, 1,800 proud sailors who are responsible for communication between the president and our nuclear submarines. We've got Colonel Kendrick Carroll, who leads the 552 Air Control Wing, the AWACS platform, Aerial Command and Control. And finally, we got Colonel Hutton, nickname is Jabba, but he leads the 507th Air Refueling Wing. And these are proud Oklahomans who fly the KC-135. So three operational flying wings on a single installation, along with the largest organic depot in the United States Air Force with the Supply Chain Management Wing. And we haven't even started talking about Life Cycle Management Center, the program management side for the B-2, B-21. There's so much that goes on this installation. And we haven't started talking about the Marines.
Right.
And we haven't started talking about Combat Com. There is so much capabilities on Tinker and off Tinker that we provide every single day. And I consider not only a responsibility, but also a privilege to try and represent and tell those stories off the fence lines of Tinker to the rest of the communities.
It is a huge, huge base.
Yes.
Kind of a little known base, but that said, we talk about the size and scope of this base. You have a dual-hatted role. You're a 72nd Air Base Wing Commander, and you're also the installation commander. Because I don't know, I've never been there, and I'm sure a lot of people have no idea exactly what that means. So maybe you could kind of break down what the difference is, and then how do you go about your day kind of integrating both of those roles into one person?
Right. So the 72nd Air Base Wing is the host wing for Tinker Air Force Base. And really, if you look at the 72nd Air Base Wing, it's senior leaders that are taking care of the base. Mm-hmm. So I always like to say that Tinker Air Force Base is a city within a city, and all the management functions within that exist within the Air Base Wing. When you look at the installation commander perspective, there's always this moniker of being the mayor of Tinker, and I consider that part of it is, some of it is the interface with the community. It's thinking ahead about where we need to be at 20, 25 years from now, and making sure that from a community, tribal nations, and from a federal entity, that we're advocating for those items that we need for our installation.
And you do have to, I mean, from time to time during the day, we've got you out there doing community things. People are coming here. There are some times when you're not necessarily the installation commander, you're the airbase wing commander. And so, I mean, weaving back and forth, and I know for those who don't know anything about this, like it's probably not quite as easy as you make it look or as it sounds. That said, you go back to talking about your big leadership team. And so several months ago, you were able to pull in a bunch of your leaders and you all sit down and you cover probably one of the most important things to set up your framework moving forward, and that's your priorities. So mm-hmm. could you just lay out what your priorities are and kind of where we're at with getting after them?
Yes. So three priorities for 2026. The first priority is project combat air power. Mm-hmm. Our mission partner success is our success. which also means our mission partners' challenges are our challenges as the 72nd Air Base Wing. That first priority gets after understanding our 60 mission partners on this base. Understanding what are the challenges for our Marines across the street. What are our challenges for our nine countries that are represented on this base? Our 623 families who live on this base. What are those challenges and how are we getting after them as the 72nd Air Base Wing? So it drives, instead of vertical, it drives horizontal integration. So it's something that I'm very proud of how the wing has embraced this and how we're trying to lean forward to making sure that we're enabling Team Tinker's success because it's our success.
Right.
The second priority is something I feel very passionate about, and that is connecting and strengthening Team Tinker and our families.
Right.
Team Tinker is a multi-service, and that was a term we specifically used for Team Tinker because it encompasses so much more than I would say airmen. It encompasses our sailors, our soldiers, our Marines, our contractors, our civilians. How are we connecting and strengthening one another? We've had a very interesting last 5 years as you look during COVID. Mm-hmm. And I would say COVID almost created a disconnected society. And now we're trying to reformulate that because we see what the benefits are of us being connected, which is really one of the foregoing initiatives behind Stronger Together.
Right.
It's how we could do things individually or we could do things together. And I think we're always going to find we do things together. Not only we're stronger, but we're more efficient. So the second priority is connecting and strengthening Team Tinker and our families.
Right.
I'm very proud about our deployed family center that we're doing. I'm very proud about how we are looking at innovative ways in order to make sure our families feel supported. It's critical. Along with getting out into our schools and just making sure that we are thinking ahead as opposed to, I would say, thinking that we don't necessarily have a role in things that has to be on somebody else.
Right.
A third priority is modernize to win. And I really appreciate all the efforts my senior leaders are doing in trying to embrace AI, trying to think of ways to maybe leverage a QR code as opposed to having to write out something. How can we get feedback? How can we act on that feedback? And how can we make our processes more efficient and get away from some of the 80s, 90s technology we're still using today.
Right. It's awesome. So you were just speaking about schools and getting out, and you are an excellent advocate for our airmen, for this base, for the families. Whether you're out in the schools, taking advantage of any opportunity you can get from, you know, small elementary school kids up, you've come and you've talked to ROTC groups that have come here. You advocate in our civic programs incredibly well. And I know you brought this up when you first came, but why was community engagement so vital to what you believe in for us?
Yeah, so community engagement, it helps the base out so many different ways. One, it helps us out from a recruitment standpoint. Mm-hmm. We need people to understand that Tinker is always looking for that next employee, that next airman, that next sailor. So we're always ready to have that conversation. So the community is also how Tinker has been able to continue to expand. You know, so Tinker's been around since, 1941?
Yes, sir.
So we've got a responsibility to our community to make sure that we are arm in arm with them. I take that very seriously. And also, I had several conversations with some of the aerospace industry groups and everything else, and that was something that they wanted to see more of Tinker kind of being part of some of those discussions that are talking more future, and how can the community support our bomber expansion? How can the community support software expansion? Those things. So I think it's incredibly important as a military installation in the state of Oklahoma that we have such a great military support and responsibility for those of us on this base to be involved in our communities. Because so many of people who work here on Tinker are already part of multiple communities across the state. In fact, last count, I want to say out of 77 counties in Oklahoma, 52 have people that are employees or reside here on Tinker. So the opportunity for us to impact communities is every single time someone steps on Tinker and then goes back home, they're impacting or being a voice to the community. So I just want to make sure as a 72nd Air Base Wing, but also as just as a senior leader on this base, that we're doing our part within this state.
Right, that's awesome. And just for people who don't know, like, this base is actually, even land-wise, is larger than some cities.
That's true. That's
one
true.
Of the cities we touch.
That's true. So if Tinker Air Force Base was a city, last time we checked, like 21st largest city in the state. And as far as square footage, we're the third largest in the United States Air Force. If you talk about the three largest buildings in the military, two of those three largest buildings are on this base.
Wow.
And they have Oklahoma City Air Logistics Complex and software employees in them today. And that's the first largest building in the military is the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. Second largest building is building 9001, which is the old GM plant.
Right.
And the third largest building is building 3001, which is where General Hammerstedt and the majority of our leadership sit at on that side of the base. So it's a blessing to be not only on a base that has so much square footage, but also just the work that gets done inside those buildings by our people.
Awesome. And that does, it takes us to the next point where Tinker, the future is bright for Tinker. Like, we are actually, you say blessed, we're blessed that we're growing, we're expanding. And that maybe sometimes as a senior leader, it might be difficult where a lot of what you're doing and working so hard as our expansion comes, you won't be around when it actually all hits. Like, you're working very hard for 5-10 years from now, but your efforts will impact our next 1 to 2 generations of workforce, like, if you break it down and think of it that way. What the efforts that you're doing, just the fact that Tinker is growing, our missions are growing, the size of the base growing, how important is that to our, not only to our Air Force, but to our community, the state of Oklahoma?
Yes. So from the state of Oklahoma, I would say it's critical. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma has been known as an oil and gas state. And then it's refreshing to see that aerospace is number two industry, and the expectations within the next 10 years, aerospace is going to overtake oil and gas in the state of Oklahoma.
Right.
So Tinker is at the forefront of everything aerospace for this base. So we have a vested interest, not only from a federal level, but from a state level, in the success of, like I said, the bomber campus, the success of the KC-46. Mm-hmm. The success of software, which is, as you look at bringing on the 6th generation platform, the software mission is going to continue to grow. And we've got, led by Miss Hager, who's out at Robbins, but she's got a great team here, led by Miss Desmond, Ashley Desmond, who's doing yeoman's work on growing that software mission. So from a state level, Tinker is really leading the charge within that. From an Air Force level, as we talk about our current administration's priority of peace through strength, Tinker is always called. Anytime there's a major conflict, chances are Tinker has some stake in it. And that speaks to the capabilities here on this installation, led by multiple wings and senior leaders across this base that all are passionate about serving our nation. I need to speak about the academic and the community piece of that too. Our academic, and this is one of the things I like to talk about, is the reality of us maintaining a B-21 sixth generation platform next to a B-52. And what does that mean as far as transcending generations of when we're still going to be utilizing 1960s, 1970s technology? We're pairing the B-52 while at the same time leveraging software engineers in order to work on a B-21. That requires academics, that requires industry, and that also requires the community in alignment in order to make sure that we're bringing on enough engineers. making sure that we're aligning our vo-techs to colleges, to high schools, so that we actually have a pipeline of folks coming into our industrial complexes.
And that B-52 is going to be around a while.
Yes. Yes, potentially hit the century mark, which is pretty amazing. But that B-52 SERP, or the reengineering program, is something we're very proud of to be happening here at Tinker Air Force Base as well, in alignment with a lot of our OEMs who are working today to bring that technology to bear.
Yes, sir. We'll be going to visit it soon. And that brings me to a point where we didn't really talk about it much in this sit down, but when we're talking about base expansions and how benefit we are, like, one of the key instrumental parts of that is the Honorary Commander Program,
yes,
which is your program. You're near and dear. I know you're very passionate about making sure that we're doing the very best we can for those folks, but if you could just take a second, just kind of talk us through, like, how critical they are to just every part of our role here, our mission.
Yes, I would say the Honorary Commander Program is really, you talk about the future of where Tinker is going, it's going to be through the Honorary Commander Program. I was surprised at Interface and within the community how many alumni we have just from my predecessors who have been wing commanders who have put so much equity into the Honorary Commander Program, and we're seeing it every year as we see legislation passed or we see support from the community roll in on projects. The reason why we were able to get a peaking plant built that pretty much establishes a power plant just for this base is based on community support. And there's so many people across the city councils, across our chambers, and across our industry that all have, one way or another, have been influenced. And I would say about 80% of those has been through the Honorary Commander Program.
That's awesome.
So it's a one-year program that we have really, I would say, focused a lot of our efforts into the last couple of months to bringing in a new batch or a new class of Honorary Commanders. And now, you know, multiple senior leaders across this base are aligned with them, and now we're pouring everything we can into them.
Right.
And those benefits are going to continue to reap themselves really for years to come,
right,
and really for generations to come. I've had people come up to me even off base and say, hey, I was a prior honorary commander underneath Colonel Bell, you know, and just want to say thank you so much to Tinker for what you do. So the more people understand within the fence, the better we are postured outside the fence as we continue to expand and bring on new workforce.
Right, and Colonel Bell, who's now a three-star general, by
yes,
the way. But you talk about yeoman's work, and I think the yeoman's work you do, sir, and getting all of your senior leaders across the base to engage in this program, like, it will be felt for generations to come. That's probably hasn't hit you yet, like internally, you know, because you're still maintaining a very high speed, but I'm sure at some juncture you'll be looking at Tinker and thinking, wow, as you know, I was with those people and we made that happen.
Well, I'll tell you, it goes back to stronger together, and the only reason why I'm able to do what I'm able to do as an installation commander is because the relationships that I have with the other wing commanders and complex commander and folks on this base, that we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. We all have each other's back, and that's where we're able to do so much goodness for this installation just in this last 10, 11 months, because we are all looking at this together and trying to work together. And only reason I'm able to do what I'm able to do is because of the faith and confidence the other senior leaders have in me, and that, you know, we all have a vested role in making sure we're furthering the mission for our nation, mm-hmm, but at the same time doing the very best we can to take care of those people and our families that do that.
Awesome. And you threw that stronger together at us a few months ago in a commander's call, and it's really hit. I mean, it's hit home. It's very spot on. Like, I think you've nailed it there. So, sir, as you wrap up your first year in the seat, hard to believe we can already say that, are there achievements that that you feel great that we've gotten after, and what are you maybe possibly looking at getting after in your second and last year in the seat?
Right, right. Probably the part I'm most proud of is the integration piece. We are meeting with our complex. We're understanding what those challenges are. We are working through things together with our Navy, our sailors. We are having monthly meetings with our sailors. We are driving integration. We have aligned our airmen and sailors into the same dorm. We're seeing benefits of that. We are getting after what I would say is challenges that maybe have plagued us in the past, and we're charting solutions together. So I would say the integration piece of this has been incredible. The 72nd and 552 relationship has never been better. We are working through things together, and Colonel Carroll is helping the 72nd out time and time again. Those relationships are things that have enabled this installation to move forward in ways I've not seen in the past. So very proud of the integration, very proud of how we are trying to get after strengthening our families, and really trying to think ahead about challenges of tomorrow and how we can get after those today. Right. So multiple things I'm very proud of that we have tactically done across this installation, to include, you know, taking possession of the 131 acres for the Bomber Agile campus, getting a peaking plant, right, through their hard work of civil engineering and multiple other senior leaders on this base, along with working through the community, to get our own power plant for this base and get that opened up and actually online today. Multiple items proud of as far as the first 12 months. Going forward, it's three-pronged. One is continuing to keep our focus on where Tinker needs to be at 15 to 20 years from now.
Right.
It's making sure we have a plan for that, for the B-21. Making sure we have a plan for Douglas. When Douglas shuts down, you know, looking what post-2030. But there's multiple things that need to occur prior to that to occur.
Right.
It's getting after efficiency. To make sure that as we have folks entering and transiting the installation, that we're doing it safely, but also at the same time being mindful of our defenders, who are currently on 12-hour shifts, and continuing to serve all across the globe in multiple capacities. So it's balancing those items, and those are things we're going to tackle over this next year. And then last but not least, is taking care of our most junior military members, as well as our civilians, and making sure that they feel valued, making sure that they feel heard, and always tell everybody that I have to earn your credibility, and I will do that by getting after things for this installation.
Right. That's awesome, sir. And I say, as somebody who's fortunate enough to be able to work closely with you, because not a lot of people do, so I find it it's great for me, but everything you're just talking about, like, it's your personality. Like, I can see just when you're not, you know, when you're just interacting on the side and in right, corners right. with people, like right. it truly, all of that truly resonates your personality. And I think that's it's great. It's great for us.
Thanks, Mark. Like I said, I never thought in 29 years I ever get a chance to be a base commander.
Right.
So I'm trying to live every day and not miss an opportunity to try and just add value and be a positive impact to people on this base. And it helps, once again, when you have great senior leaders around you.
Right.
So I've got a great deputy and Colonel Dismukes, who unfortunately she is PCSing in a couple of months, but she has been instrumental along with her and Chief Gridell. Well, I was very fortunate to have already been in this. They've already burned the seat when I came on.
Right.
So they enabled me to kind of understand what it means to be a wing commander as they kind of helped me along for the first 5 or 6, 7 months, and they continue to do yeoman's work today. And I'd be remiss if I didn't give a huge shout-out to Chief Gridell, who's retiring after 28 years of serving our nation. So we're going to be having a change of responsibility a little bit later on this month for him. Just huge thanks to all the senior leaders who have helped me across, I would say, this first year being in command.
That's awesome. Critical. Well, sir, with that, I think that's a great spot to finish up. I know we've had to steal your lunch hour to just so people know he doesn't get to eat today. He had to come here and talk to us. But anything you want to add before we get out of here, sir?
No, I would just say thanks for the opportunity to just engage the installation. Being a wing commander, I would say, is the greatest opportunity of a lifetime. Even though I'm coming up on my first year, I'm going to really lean into this second year because I'm excited to see, working with everybody else across the space, all the things we're going to do for the installation. And my vision, once again, is I want Tinker Air Force Base to be the place everybody wants to be.
Right.
And we're going to earn that through listening, through feedback, implementing what we can, and also finding innovative ways to get after things that we can't.
Right. Great. So, with that, we are going to leave the colonel today to get back to the rest of his day. And thanks for joining us for another episode of the Tinker Talks podcast. As always, you can find us on the socials. Please look up our website. Also, something we didn't even get into, sir, we have a new mobile app that will be launching June 1st, like just with all the other things that you've been driving us toward since you've got here. And I will say thanks for your leadership. It's been a great first year. You've kept me busy keeping you busy. So it's been great. I can't wait to see what you've got coming for the next year for us.
And Mark, I'm sorry, but I got to make a plug for that Tinker app.
Yes, sir.
So one of the items we identified as senior leaders was our communication is fractured across the space when you try to communicate to everybody.
Right.
We're going to roll this Tinker Connect app out. It's going to be available on Apple Store as well as Google for our Android devices. And it's going to be the one-stop shop for every single thing that's happening on this installation, to include gates and being able to look at live traffic cams from ODOT on seeing what's happening at the gate before you depart to come onto the base. Really hoping that this is something that unlocks the opportunities, not only for our folks on the base, but also our families at home wanting to understand what's going on over the next couple of days or weeks or months across Tinker. So really excited about it, looking forward to it, and really looking for a strong push once we get that app opened up. Projecting first week of June.
That is huge. And your passion's definitely behind it, because if you don't think the commander's involved, like this was not just a, hey, go make it happen. It is you've been hands in it from the inception, from the get-go. So, also great. It's great for a commander to be that involved and want to be that passionate about making sure we shore up those things that need to be shored up. So until next time, thanks for joining us, and you all take care and have a great week.